try to build on our message from last week. When we were reminded that Jesus was asleep in the boat during a massive storm, and the disciples didn't know what to do with that, but they learned about Jesus in a real way in the middle of it all. And hopefully we're reminded of our Savior and who He is and what He's about. But today, I want to talk about a little bit something different. As we move forward as a church and as you move forward in your lives, in your households, your witnesses for Christ individually and as a family and as a congregation, raise your hand if you pray. I'm hoping everybody raising their hand. How many of y'all believe, you don't have to raise your hand, just think about this answer. How many of y'all believe that you pray big prayers? How many of y'all think your prayers aren't big enough? These are things I want you to ponder upon throughout the morning. How many of y'all don't really know if sometimes your prayers aren't big enough or they're too big, or maybe you don't even think about it, you just talk to God sometimes. And if you're like me, sometimes in some stressful moments or high anxiety filled moments, I got big prayers that aren't even what I'm trying to do, right? I'm just saying to the Lord, you're going to have to do this because I don't understand, or whatever the situation. And I think that's acceptable. I think that's what the Lord wants us to talk to Him about, what's on our heart. There's no reason not to tell Him what's on your heart, because He already knows. He knows what's on your heart before you know what's on your heart. I think if I ask y'all how many of y'all want to know that you have a powerful prayer life, most of us would raise our hands. And here's how I know that most people would raise their hand and say, yeah, I want a powerful prayer life, is because if people pray for anybody, they pray for themselves the most. That's just the truth. Maybe most of y'all pray for everybody else a lot, but you're going to pray for yourself the most. That's not a selfish thing. That's just because you know the most about what's going on with you. Right? So you're going to talk to God about those things. If you're doing what the Christian life is all about, you're going to be walking and talking with God every day, all day, about every little thing and every big thing. If you're like me, maybe you are, maybe you're not. Maybe you don't want to admit it if you are. You want to know how the best way to pray is, or you want to know how to have a powerful prayer life. You want your prayers to be effective. You want to know that when you talk to God, it's in the right way for the best results. And I think most of us know that we really, whether we like it or not, or whether we understand it or not, we really want God's will in our life. Sometimes we want God's will to be the same as our will, because that's the way we pray, right? It's like, Lord, make this happen, or Lord, help me do this, or Lord, solve this problem. And we're trying to ask God if His will would be our will. And I think we need to hit a reset on that thought. And the prayer might be, Lord, help my will to become Your will. Help my will to conform to Your will. Transform my mind and my heart into Your will. Because every time I read in Scripture what we're about to read, it gets my attention. And I even write it right here in the top of my Bible. Lord, I need this to live in me. We all need this. Here's our scripture for the morning, John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. This is John's account of Jesus teaching after he's telling the disciples, he's preparing them for his departure, for his crucifixion and his resurrection. And he starts comforting them, and he starts teaching them what it's going to be like and what they're going to do. Let me start with verse 12, because we're going to focus on 13 and 14, but verse 12 is important. He says in verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. That's an attention getter also. If you're saved to be a disciple maker, if you're just saved to go to heaven and you're not interested in making disciples, that may not mean much to you. But Jesus is saying to them and to us, not only is if we believe in him that we will do the things that he did, but we'll also do greater things than he did, which is hard to understand sometimes. Wait a minute, greater things than Jesus did? What in the world? And here's what he said right after that. This is our focus for this morning. In verse 13, he said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And then we might as well finish up with verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I think we would be shortchanging ourselves if we don't add verse 15. Because it's a reminder of what we're to be doing. It's a reminder, it's a hint as to the greater things that we will do than he. Making disciples, changing people's lives for Christ by way of the Holy Spirit is the greater things. Preaching the gospel, going into the world by way of the Holy Spirit, sharing the love of God is what Jesus said that the believers would do, right? He who believes in me will do what I do and do greater things than I do. And then he finishes it off in verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, the commandment is go into the world and love people and love God. Go make disciples and I'll go with you everywhere you go. I love it when everything's wrapped up in a nice package like that. It's easy to understand. Easy to understand, hard to do sometimes. Right smack in the middle of it is our study for this morning. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. And how many people do you know? Maybe you're one of them. I hope you're not. But how many people you know read that and run off as happy as they can be, like they just hit the lottery? You mean whatever I ask, and if I just say Jesus' name, I can get what I want? Is that what it means? Let me give you a big fat no. That's not what it means. Capital N, capital O. And I'm being somewhat silly, but there are people that believe that. They believe if you just say the words in Jesus' name, then God somehow is obligated to do whatever it is you said. Let me tell you something. My Savior's name is not a magic word. And God don't get told what to do by me. I get told what to do by him. So for me to be able to interpret this in to any other way than other than Jesus meant it would mean that God has to be serving me and not me serving God, if that's the way it would be interpreted. But that's not the way it is. So let's find out what it is. You know, most believers stall out in their Christian growth, in their spiritual life, or even go backwards, because God stops being active in their life. I wonder whose choice that is. Right? It's not because God chose to not be active. It's not because God chose not to interact and continue the growth process. They stop growing because prayers begin to shrink in size. We start praying about things in a way that we believe we can manage. If God answers them, then we can manage that. Right? Because I got it all figured out. I got a list of prayers, just my life, my family. Don't have nothing to do with the church prayer list. That's a whole nother prayer list, right? And I'm just as guilty as any other soul on the planet. I have it in my mind, the best way for God to answer all them prayers. And I know better. I'm not saying I'm insisting that God do it my way. I'm just saying it's there. It'd be nice, Lord, if you'd take care of this problem this way. It'd be nice if you'd make this happen in this way. It'd be nice if you change this person in this way so I can be comfortable. You see. And that's how it is. Instead of praying the big prayer, I'm not praying, I'm praying in my comfort zone and not in God's parameters. You know, and that's true for the church as well, by the way. Churches around the world get into this habit of offering up prayers about the health of the church, the growth of the church, the things that are going on in the church. And we pray about what we think can happen or what we think God might do or what we think we can handle instead of asking God to do what he wants to do. And that's two different things. And I think that Oak Grove isn't any different than any other church, to be honest with you. That's not a knockdown. That's not a put down. It's just normal. It's just how our minds work. But if we're not careful, we're going to fall into this trap, and it will interfere with our faith being as active as God would like it to be. You see. We talked about last week the waves of life moving us around and getting us upset and fearful sometimes. But we stay the course. We're still floating. We're still going. Sometimes we pray for survival in a situation in our lives or in the church. Sometimes we're just praying to survive. Who was it? I was listening to a podcast, preacher friend of mine, and he was saying many churches are playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And he was trying to explain there's a big difference between playing not to lose and playing to win. And sometimes people don't see the difference. They're like, well, if you don't lose, then you win. Right? The difference is you're just playing to survive or are you playing to be victorious. Right? Are we here to claim victory over sin in the name of Jesus? Because that's the command, that's the task. Or are we just here to survive this world and not lose our faith? You know. Sometimes we pray for comfort, right? Lord, just stop all the bad things from happening so I can have some peace. And I'm just like anybody else. It'd be nice to just go sit on the lake on a sunny afternoon with the breeze. And just sometimes I like to sit there and fish and not catch nothing. If I catch something, I got to do something with it. I like to catch fish, but sometimes I just like to sit there and don't think and do nothing. Women can't do this. Women don't understand this. Guys, we can literally do nothing and not think about anything while we're doing nothing. We're just existing. And it's great if we can get there. But sometimes our prayers, if we're praying our big prayers, if we're praying God-sized prayers, the answer is going to come and it's almost always going to put us outside of a comfort zone. It's always going to be bigger than what we expected. It's always going to scare the fool out of us because that's the way God works. Sometimes we pray for what seems reasonable instead of what requires God to be involved. It's the whole point of the day. It's the big idea for the day. Because Jesus, he never invited us to be safe Christians. He never invited us to sit back and take the safe route. Why did he spend so much time saying, people are going to hate you. People are going to persecute you. Nobody's going to like you because of me. But it's going to be amazing, and it's worth it. You don't believe me? Ask John the Baptist. Ask Stephen. Just off the top of the list. All the apostles. And how many after? Even today, there's people suffering because they believe that Jesus is the Christ. They're not in a comfort zone. There ain't nothing comfortable about their life when they're being killed for their faith. And they're talking about real things to God, And they know what God can do. We know what God can do. I'm working on this message, and I'm wrestling with it, y'all. Like, I'm wrestling with this. Because there's no way that anybody that's been a part of this church for the last 2 to 4 years can say God is not working here and God is not doing great things. We've been through some stuff and we've learned some things and we've seen God do. Let's just pick out what went on when Helene hit. We were supposed to have a big barbecue that Sunday. I'm telling you, we had pounds of meat on the grill. I was so excited. It was going to be like 2 days worth of amazingness to me because I was going to spend all day Saturday watching Alabama beat up on whoever it is they were playing while I was cooking all that meat for y'all. And then come in here and eat with y'all and fellowship and have all this great barbecue. It's going to be amazing. But God did something different. The storm came and God did something different. And we got busy loving people, loving God, loving each other. And it wasn't that God asked us if we wanted to do it. I don't remember nobody, not even God, saying, hey, do you guys want to get involved? I don't remember that. All I know is here we are and we're doing stuff. And all y'all showed up and we did our best. And it was amazing to watch so many times God revealed himself. And we didn't have no choice but to have God-sized prayers in the middle of that. And that's just one situation. We have to pray our prayer life. We have to talk to God and ask him for things that if he answered them, everybody would know it was him. Nobody could take credit for it when God gets involved and answers our big prayers. If God answers your prayers and nobody can tell it was God, maybe your prayers aren't big enough. The question isn't for our church, for our lives. The question isn't, can we do this? Can we make disciples? Can we get the church to be important in the community for God? Or can my family be important in the community for my neighborhood for God? Or can my personal witness be important? No, it's not can I do this? It's do I trust God enough to ask him to make it happen? Do I trust God enough to ask him for the big things? Things that only he can do. Right? He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what's on your heart. He knows what's going on in your family. He knows what the troubles are. He knows where the bills are. He knows how many hairs are on your head or not on your head. So when Jesus says this, this will be point number one. I know y'all are like, point number one. When he says these things in verse 13 and 14, we got to look at where the root of it all is. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that my Father be glorified in the Son. Now, I know y'all realize this. I know you're fully aware. But for some time, at the end of each Sunday morning worship time, we sing glory to his name. And I don't know if anybody's getting tired of it or if anybody's saying, well, the preacher just don't want to pick out another song. No, it's intentional. It's always been intentional. Because I would love for that to be the theme of this church. Whatever we do, however we do it, whenever we do it, that it would bring glory to God. Even our Sunday morning worship. It's kind of like a period at the end of our statement of worship on a Sunday morning. Glory to his name. How many of y'all know what the Christian life is all about? Matter of fact, I'll give you multiple choice. Answer number one, to bring glory to God. That's the purpose of the Christian life. Answer number two, to bring glory to God. The purpose of the Christian life. Answer number three, to bring glory to God. the Christian life, purpose. Now, answer number four is usually the answer I picked when I had multiple choice, all of the above. How many of y'all say all of the above? I'm going to get easy on y'all. That's what it's all about, y'all. That's what it says. That's what we're reading. That's what Jesus is saying. We're so focused on ask whatever you want in my name and I'll do it that we miss so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the whole purpose of it all. Do this, you'll do what I do, and you'll do greater things, and you'll do it in my name, and I'll make it all happen so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. Meaning that whatever Jesus does, God will be glorified. What's that got to do with you? In case you didn't know, if you're saved, you're in Christ. The Spirit of God is in you, alive in you. The life that's moving and living and doing the ministry is Christ. And God would be glorified in the Son in all that we do. So if we're running around in Christ and we're running around doing the Lord's business by way of the Holy Spirit and our minds and our hearts are totally surrendered to that, then of course what we ask for will be done. Of course what we talk to God about will happen. Think about it. Lord, I've been talking to my neighbor. You know, I've been talking to him about Jesus. I've been loving on him. I've been trying to be his friend. I've been doing whatever you asked me to do. I just want you to move in his life. I just want you to change his life. I want it to happen. I want you to just let him surrender. Let him understand. Let him accept this truth. And you pray like that. Because he might be the guy that we all say, that dude will never get saved. That dude is never going to get saved because he's got this whatever attitude we've already had it in our mind. He's just not going to get saved. And that's the big prayer. It's like, Lord, even that guy touches. Show people that you can touch the hardest heart. That's a big prayer. We pray about things. We talk to God about things that we think are impossible. But when I say to y'all, with God, all things are possible, everybody stands up and says, amen and praise the Lord. Okay, well, our prayer life needs to reflect what we believe. All things are possible with God. If they bring glory to him, he's all over it. If it brings attention to God as Lord, he's all over it, right? Which, honestly, Jesus is trying to help us learn about the Christian life. He's trying to help us get dialed in. He's trying to say, look, if you want to be in Christ and you want to do greater things than even I did while I was on the planet, then you need to be in me and me in you. And it needs to be about glorifying the Father. Because once you're in line with that, then it's whatever you ask. Whatever you bring to me, we're just going to call it a done deal. Why is that? Because then my will and desire is in line with his will. Did Jesus say go into the world and make disciples? Is it a command? Yeah, it is a command. Amen. Just say amen. That's what we're trying to do. Okay, well then, anything that I'm doing to ask the Lord to help me do to make disciples, wouldn't it be something he would want to do? The answer would be yes. And that includes praying over the ones that we love that are suffering right now. We got a few on a prayer list that are in a pretty bad way right now. Right? And we got to boldly pray for them. Whatever it is God would have for them, that it would happen so that he would be glorified even in their suffering. That God would be glorified even in their suffering. It's not about advancing your, it's just not about, prayer's not about just your advancing your personal witness or your home or the church. It's about revealing God's glory to the world. It's about saying, hey, look how great and amazing God is. You ever think about it that way? When God is the aim, the size of your church is not the issue. I guess the size of your Christian witness is not the issue. Does everybody know you or not? That's not the issue. Are you a person with a title or not? Are you behind the scenes? It doesn't matter. What matters is your obedience to what you believe. Do you believe that God is who he is? You believe that Jesus is who he is? And do you believe that you are who you are in Christ? And if you believe all of those things according to the word of God, then why wouldn't you talk to God in such a way that agrees with all of that? I don't know where people are going to come from that are going to come in here and get saved. I just know that's what God wants for this church. I know that's what God wants for you in your life. God wants you to reflect Him so that people will know Him. And that may or may not have anything to do with Oak Grove. Right? There's enough water in these mountains. We don't have to come to the church to help people find Jesus. It's great when it happens that way. If we're not trying to praise God and glorify His name and let people know how amazing He is, we have other issues. Big prayers aren't arrogant, y'all. Some people think big prayers, you're being arrogant, you're asking God for too much. Some people get hard on themselves. Like, oh, I don't deserve to ask God for that much. He's got other things to do. Really? When people say to me, God's too busy with other folks to care about little old me, you don't understand how big God is. You don't understand what kind of a multitasker God is. You see, God is waiting for you to address what's already on the table in your life. He's waiting for you to address what's already in your heart and what you already want from Him, which you're maybe a little timid to say. Lord, I want you to heal this problem. I want you to solve this issue. I want you to bring relief to me for this. I would like to have more wisdom about that, whatever it is. God is more than capable of dealing with it. Right? As long as the motives are to bring glory to Him. Right? I would love for me and my wife and our ministry to be such that honors God so much that it's almost like we disappear. We don't exist. We exist, but we don't. Right? Well, we're here. You see us, but you see Christ more. You see God's love more. And the only thing that gets in the way of that is me. Wanting some of the attention, right? Wanting God to solve my problem. No, how do I bring glory to God by the way that I live my life, by the way that I solve problems, by the way that I pray about my problems, by the way that I patiently wait for God? If God's glory is the goal, no prayer is too big, y'all. If I told y'all that we were going to ask God to bring 120 people into this church, how would y'all react to that? Look at you. Everybody's nodding their head, but you don't want to say it out loud because you don't know. It's okay. I'm not trying to call you out. I'm just trying to say this is where we are, y'all. It would be amazing if 120 people in the next year and a half or 2 years would come in here and be part of our family and get saved if they need to be saved. That's what I want. I think that's what God wants. He probably wants more than 120. Some of y'all said amen because you want it to happen. But sometimes we don't pray like we believe it could happen. We pray like we don't believe God will do it. And that's the same all around the world. People are like that. I love you, and I'm not knocking you down. I'm trying to encourage you to think about how we're talking to God about what He's doing and what He wants. And here's why we do this, because we haven't seen 120 people in the last 2 years. Seen some. We've had some folks come around, right? So what seems to be the disconnect? This is what preachers talk about in their minds to themselves. Here's how we talk to God and to ourselves. Lord, I know you can do this, and I know you want this. How do I help the church get there? That's how we talk to God. And if we would just stop there, we'd probably be pretty healthy, right? And then God shows us scripture like this. I'm gonna tell y'all something. I started studying this and thinking about this and working on this all the way even through last night, reviewing and getting it ready and thinking about how am I going to say it to you. And it was a battle. Satan don't want me talking about this. He don't want me telling y'all this. He don't want me even believing this.
this truth? Why is it in this Bible if it's not true? Ask whatever in my name and I will do it. Okay. Then the question is, why do we want the church to grow? Why would we want 120 people in here? Is it because we want Oak Grove to be great and we want to feel good about being a great church? Is that what it is? That don't line up with what Jesus is teaching. And it don't line up with what Jesus is saying. But if we want 120 people to come in here and get saved and know God and be a powerful part of this community so everybody around here knows how great God is, then it'll happen. And only then. If it's motivated by glorifying God, it will happen. When the children look at dad and say, "Help me pick up this heavy chair off the floor. I can't do it." And they need dad to help. They ask dad because they trust dad's strength. They trust that dad can lift it up. Or mom, don't get me in trouble up here. And God's waiting for us to trust him in that way. God is waiting for all of us to understand and trust that he is big enough and strong enough to answer the big prayers for his glory. It's always for his glory. I'm saved by the blood of Christ because I accepted what Jesus did on the cross. I'm so excited. I'm still excited about that. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I believe it, but it's baffling to me. But even that I had to learn over the years. I'm only saved for God's glory. I'm saved so the world can see this dude over here made a train wreck of his life and God still cleaned it up because he can, because he loves him. That's how amazing God is. He can love a guy like me, a wretch like me. That's why we sing these songs, y'all. That's why we talk about the love of God. It's like we can't, you know, it's like how can Jesus, who's holy, who's perfect, who's our Savior, who is Lord, go to the cross and suffer such a way for people like us? Because he's amazing. Because he's holy. Because he's God. And he can solve the problem. So question, if God answered our prayers exactly as we're praying them right now, would anyone know that God did it? You chew on that. Point number two, we're not going very far, still in verse 13 and 14. He says, "Whatever you ask in my name, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." It's not a formula. It's not a magic potion. It's not a hocus pocus whatever. Right? Don't get all legalistic about it. What Jesus is saying is, you got to go back to verse 12. He's like, hey, who believes in me will do what I do, and they'll do better, bigger things than I do. You got to pray in Jesus' name. What does that mean? What does it mean to be in Jesus' name? There's nothing wrong with saying those words after a prayer, by the way. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're not in Christ, if you're not surrendered to the Spirit of God alive in your life, if he's not alive in you more than you are in you, then you're probably not in Jesus. You're probably not in Christ. You're probably not saved. That's what the Christian life is. I surrender to the Lord. I die to self. That's what the baptism is a picture of. That represents the sinner man dying. King self is dead. King self is gone. He surrendered to Lord Jesus, you see. So we're going to bury the old king self, and he's going to come alive in Christ. And if I'm in Christ, in Jesus' name, see, as ambassadors for the kingdom of God, we are walking around in the name of Jesus. That's the authority. So whatever you ask in Jesus' name, that will I do. All right, I'm gonna get to it. Think about Nehemiah as we talk about these things, because Nehemiah was given a great task, an overwhelming task, bigger than him task. Can't do it by himself.
Didn't have the money, didn't have the resources, didn't have the authority, didn't have the guts to do it on his own. But God said, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over there. Well, he was already working for some other king. God knew that. God took care of that. In fact, he got that king to pay for it all. And that king gave him papers to travel across the world to get where he needed to go, and he gave him everything he needed. And then he gave him protection when he got there, because who he thought was his family, not all of them were with him. Some were against him, right? Not everybody was up for the task. Everybody was like, it's not how we're going to do it. That's probably not. And then the enemy's on outside the camp saying, hey, look, they're trying to rebuild the city. We better keep an eye on this. And he's just over there staying busy. Got a sword in one hand and a lay brick in another hand. He just stayed busy working. And I know he talked to God the whole time. I know it. And he's asking God, solve this problem, solve that problem. That's what we're doing. Are your prayers shaped by Scripture, or are they shaped by fear? Think about that. Are your prayers shaped by what the Word of God says, or are they shaped by fear? It's the great battle in our hearts and minds every day, isn't it? I'm not saying don't be honest with God about your fears and your anxieties, but I'm saying let the Scripture claim victory at the end of that conversation with God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was in the wilderness sweating blood over it. He's like, Lord, God, if there's some other way to do this, let's do that, because this is going to be bad. And y'all know what he said. He said, Lord, but your will be done. Your way is the right way. That's big prayers. And then he ran to the cross. Our prayers are reflecting Christ's mission. Is that true for you? Is that true for Oak Grove? Are we praying for big things here at Oak Grove? Because I think about that. We had a meeting, and I sent the email out, and I gave you the transformative plan, and I appreciate Don bringing that up in our prayer time, because it does need to be prayed over, even though it's not set in stone. It's a guide, right? And I know that all of you are reading through that, and you're sitting back going, I don't know, right? Because it's going to be a big thing. But anything the Christian man or woman does in this world requires steps of faith, requires trusting God. It requires expecting God to do big things. And y'all have been around Oak Grove long enough, you know God's already done big things. We wouldn't even be sitting in this building if that weren't true. Am I right? So why would he stop now? God, look, here's the thing. Faith doesn't wait silently for God to act. You know how you throw something in the water and you just got to let it sink slowly? That's not what faith looks like. Faith ain't just sitting around waiting for God to do the big thing, and then all of a sudden we jump in and say, okay, God's doing the big thing, everybody show up. I know that's not what we're trying to do. I know that's not what's happening, but we got to understand that. Faith is asking God and then expecting God and trusting God. And I'm preaching to myself, y'all. I'm preaching to myself. And I was talking on the phone to somebody just last night. And I remember saying something like, you know, I didn't walk away from my job to go into ministry just to fail. If that was going to be the case, then I'd have just stayed there. I walked away from my job. I'm not bragging up here. I'm just telling you, I walked away because I wanted to help people get saved. I wanted to help people know Jesus at that time in my life. I couldn't do nothing else but that. I still feel that way. Why would we be here if we didn't believe God wanted us to do those things? If we're here for any other reason, then we're just playing church, aren't we?
But it's not what, that doesn't glorify God. We're trying to glorify God. We're trying to bring glory to God. We're trying to show people how much glory there is in God. God knows every one of our limitations. And let me just tell y'all, and I've got to hurry this up. We're going to get into chili time later on tonight. I probably have the longest list in this room of excuses. It's a daily battle, isn't it? It's a daily battle. Excuses as to why I'm not asking God for the big things. Why I'm not talking to God in a way where it shows that I trust that He is who He is. Why am I not, my actions not lining up with what I know He can do? Maybe not always, but sometimes. You know, and y'all love me so much. You're like, you're constantly saying, "Oh, preacher, you're doing a great job," and you're trying to encourage me, and I love you for it. But sometimes the truth is the truth. The preacher needs to get up and get busy. Same as anybody else, right? I mean, if I'm going to write in my Bible, "Lord, I need this to live in me," and draw an arrow to where it says, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do," I can't just sit back and wait for God to make that happen. If I believe that that's true, and I believe it would apply to me or you or us, there needs to be some action behind my faith. If I'm going to listen to James. I know, y'all. I know. James, he's that guy. He's that guy that just says truth and walks away. He says, "I'm just going to lay this right here for y'all. Love you." And then walk out. That's James. But he tells you if your faith ain't in action, then it ain't no faith at all. So how can I expect Jesus to do whatever I ask in His name if there's no action? How am I in His name if I'm not motivated by who He is? If I'm not doing things according to who He is. Just like last week, I used the illustration, the farmer was praying for rain and his neighbor come over and said, "Okay, well, how come you ain't digging no irrigation ditches?" If you're praying for rain, you don't believe God's going to do it, or you'd be busy getting ready for the rain. Well, if we're going to pray for people to get saved because of the witness of Oak Grove for God's glory, then we need to be getting ready for that. We need to be getting prepared for that. We need to ask the Lord to prepare us to be part of that. We need to start turning over every rock in this community to find those that need to be saved. And function as if it's already a done deal. That's how I believe it. That's what the Bible is. That's what Jesus is teaching. All right. Let me put this thing in the barn. Ask yourself this question about your home, your personal witness, your family, and here at the church. What impossible thing would we dare ask God to do if we truly believed He meant what He said? I got people that are close to me that don't even live around here that I wish would get saved. I wish they would want to get saved. And it's challenging. It's challenging. Sometimes it's so challenging that you just think, okay, well, until they decide they want to do it, God's not gonna, right? Well, why? How come I'm not talking to God about? How about you intercede, Lord? How about you break their life down so they can see you? How about you make it obvious to who you are and how much they need you so they can have a real opportunity to choose you? Instead of me just sitting back saying, "Lord, I just hope to get saved one day," and then going about my life. That ain't a big prayer. A big prayer is, "Lord, whatever you got to do to get their attention, do it." And you know how that prayer will go. Sometimes lives have to be broke down before that God can build them back up. And that's hard because you love these people. What do we got to do to be important to this community for Jesus and for His glory? Whatever that is, Lord, help us know it and help us do it. That's the prayer. That's the big prayer, y'all.
We don't need to be younger. God knows how old we are. We don't need more programs. We don't need better strategies. Those things are useful, but we don't need them. What we need is God. What we need is prayers that are bold enough that require God's involvement for them to come into play, for them to be answered. That's what we need. So I'm just going to ask you to commit today to ask God to help all of us in our prayer life to have bigger prayers, have God-sized prayers for you and your life, for you and your family, but also for us in the church. Right? That's what glorifies God. Trusting God like that glorifies Him, brings glory to His name. Right? How many times does it feel awkward when you're saying to your neighbor or your friend or your family member or even to each other, we say, I'm standing up here telling y'all, I think the Lord could fill this place up to where we couldn't fit in here. And I know y'all believe that, but at the same time, it's in our minds, it's like, oh, but will He do it? Am I right? I think I'm right. I know y'all and I talk to y'all. I know how it is. We're the same. And I'm just saying that the word of God is trying to help us get adjusted and say, you know what, if we believe God is who He is and we believe that He's interested in making disciples and interested in using Oak Grove to be a great part of His kingdom, let's start acting like it. And let's start talking like it. And let's start asking God about things like it. Right? Whatever He's doing. We don't have to know His will all the time. Sometimes we know God's will and sometimes we don't. Either way, we're going to trust that His will is the best way, right? How many of y'all know it's wrong? The Bible says it's wrong to lie. All right, see, we know God's will. We know God's will. How many of y'all know it's wrong to hate your neighbor? Okay, we know God's will, right? How many of y'all know what God's going to do with this church in 2026? Exactly what He's going to do. Yeah, see, we don't always know. And God's saying to us, do we have to know His will before we trust Him? Do we have to know before we ask for the big things? Right? Here's what I do know is it is God's will that people would hear the gospel and be saved. So if our prayers are, Lord, help us be a church that brings people in here to get saved, that would be not in line with His will. That would be in Christ. Ask whatever in my name and I'll do it. That's all I'm getting at. Love y'all. Love y'all. And I tell you this all the time. We can have chili at 5 o'clock this evening, like we're going to, cornbread. Chili, cook off, and cornbread throw down, and we can talk about Jesus while we do it. Right? By the way, the Ides crew is going to be here. We told you that. So they might eat with us. Come in fellowship with them. Thank them for being here. If they come and eat. I don't know if they will or not. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing because it's time. But y'all, look, I put a map of our mission field on there. Y'all noticed that, I hope. Oak Grove Mission Field. Y'all get you a map like that and stick it up on your fridge or stick it in your Bible and you just pray. Lord, help us to impact this area for Christ. Help us find people to talk to. Help us find people to pray with. Help us find people that need You. And let God do the rest and believe it and walk as if it's going to happen. I love you and the Lord loves you. We'll sing together. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Come talk to me. Repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins.